chapter 40. We touched on verse 31 a little bit in Sunday school class this morning. But we're going to look at verse 28 down through verse 31 and put this in context. So many times we need to put verses in context to see what they have and what God has for us and what we can learn from the precious Word of God. It needs to be precious to you. It needs to be dear to your heart. And it needs to be one of the most important things in your life, Jesus Christ and His Word. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Thou hast not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is none searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint, and the weary and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Verse 41, verse 1. Keep silent before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength, and let them come near, and let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Dear Jesus, we just ask, as you open up your Holy Scriptures again this precious day, God, that you'll help us and strengthen us, encourage us, and let us see the great wonders that you have waiting for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What is it to wait upon the Lord? Notice it's all capital letters here. This is referring to Jehovah, the self-existing, self-sustaining, everlasting one. I am that I am. What does it mean to wait upon the Lord? What is the Word of God trying to tell us? What does God want us to do when He used Isaiah, His prophet, to say, wait upon the Lord? Now, some people tend to wait upon the Lord, sitting on their Proximus Maximus, just twiddling their thumbs, and waiting for something to happen, something to come by, and something to do. He says, well, I've been waiting for the Lord for all my life, and He hadn't done nothing in my life. I sit down, I read my Bible every day. Oh, I pray every day. And I sit down on my front porch and I watch the world go by, waiting for the Lord to do something in my life. I don't think that's what God means. Some people do that. I run across a man one time that was, well, he was an acquaintance of mine, I knew him. And he had a place up in the mountains, and that was his kind of retreat. And he had satellite dishes up there. And he says, I listen to all the religious channels. And I take all this in. And I says, man, that's like I'm in the Dead Sea. It's the Dead Sea. Everything's going in, nothing's coming out. And a lot of that that's going in ain't no good. Somebody was telling me this morning, discerning. If something is taken out of context, if somebody is properly using something in the Bible. Today, that is very prevalent to be taking things out of context to meet a particular opinion. So many people, a lot of churches don't, you don't bring your Bible to church anymore. They put it up on the screen. Because you never know exactly which perversion the guy's going to be using that day. And sometimes they use two or three of them, so they just flash them up on the screen. Everybody assumes it's properly dividing the Word of God, and it kind of depends on what his theme is, you know? What he wants to point, he wants to put across. Now, that's why you need to look in the Bible and see what it says. Wait can mean, just what it says, set and wait. Sometimes it means to look. Sometimes, excuse me. Sometimes it means to look for. Sometimes it means to wait for. Sometimes referring to a hope, a great expectation, or something you're looking forward to. We used to have an old saying, wait's what broke the bridge. But listen, sometimes. Now this verse 28. Hast thou not known? Basically he's saying, don't you know this? Haven't you known this? Aren't you aware of this? Haven't you known this in the past? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? You know, I doubt in most of the world today, and there's a few spots, but most of the world, somebody has heard something about God. They've got radio stations. They got shortwave radio stations and towers and stuff all over the world. They drop shortwave radios into all these places and different things and else. A lot of people have heard about God. Some of them haven't heard about Jesus and His salvation, but a lot of people have heard about God. Hast thou not heard? Don't you know this? Sometimes we just need a little jog. Grab by the shoulders. Hey, wake up there now. It's cold water in the face or something. Don't you remember this? Haven't you heard this? Don't you know this? Aren't you aware of this? And I want you to see, there's three things here. The everlasting God. Christianity, true Christianity, is the only religion, or I don't like the word religion, that knows that there is a real God. That He is an everlasting God. That He is an alive God. He's the God of the living, not of the dead. And He has always been everlasting. No beginning, no ending. It still is and always will be. Everlasting God. Then what's it say here in the middle? The Lord. Jehovah God, the self-sustaining, everlasting, eternal one. As He told Moses, who shall I say sent me? I am. I am that I am. Because I am, I will be it because I am. Because of who He is. Don't you know who is the everlasting God? Don't you know who the Lord is? The Creator of the ends of the earth. That means everything. Look at the three titles they use. Everlasting, Creator, Lord, Creator of the ends of the earth. These are who we are talking about. This is who we're talking about. This is the God that we're talking about. Don't you know this? Don't you remember this? You know this. You've been taught these things. You've heard about this. G-O-D, the definition of God. That's the only one, numero uno, that fits that application. Is the Lord Jehovah God. There is no one else. Listen who He is. Now, not only is He everlasting, not only is the Lord, not only is a Creator, but He doesn't faint. And He don't get tired. That's because He's God. God never faints, never passes out, never disappears, and never gets tired. He rested one time, the seventh day, and He hasn't rested since, that I find anywhere in there. He had one 24-hour day there, and then He had Adam. Adam had, you know. And now He's got us. But listen. We tend to put God in our ideals, our molds, our frames. Well, I don't want to bother God. That's just too incidental. He's too busy. Oh, it's tired. I'm sure God's tired of hearing about this. And, you know, I just. He's got bigger things to take care of. All those things that we say. All the things. Well, you know, no. God is ageless. There hasn't been a time that there hasn't been God. And He never has got tired. He is self-sustaining. His own being keeps His own being. He doesn't need any of us. He doesn't need creation. He wants our love. He made us to love Him. Because He's a God of love. But He did that for us and for Him, for you, and to love Him. You're not so essential to God. Sometimes that's what happens at workplaces. People think they're essential and they have to be there and different things like that. That's generally when things start happening at work and they get eliminated or moved on or get rid of or something, you know? When you think you're that way. Newsflash, the world does not revolve around you. As some young, sometimes teenagers tend to think, you know? Or about 8, well, about 10 or 12 sometimes. You know, it just depends. Sometimes we tend to think the world revolves around us. No, it revolves around the S-U-N and the S-O-N. But you see, this is God. He doesn't faint, neither is He weary. There is no searching of His understanding. You are not going to understand everything about God. You're never going to understand some things He does. Years, there's things that have concerned me, and I don't understand why God did it that way, and it doesn't make sense to me. Things passed way back in the years ago, and I see, I don't understand it. Why did that happen? Why did that person die? Why did this happen? I don't know. You're not going to do it. And newsflash, God doesn't owe you an explanation. I did it this way because He doesn't owe you an explanation. Faith. Trust. There is this. Sometimes I think about the weather when I try and think about God and understanding things. Because of what happens here. Or what happens over in the Indies. Or Andes Mountains, or what happens over in Africa, or what happens out in the middle of the ocean. The temperatures, all of those things affect Bernalillo. It all fits together. Well, God's got all of us. He's got a whole lot more to work with than the weather. And it all fits together. Along the same lines, don't tell God how to fix it. Well, God, I got this problem and this is what you need to do. Okay, if you know so much about it, then you fix it. Sometimes we have that in the shop. Bring a car in. It's missing. I need some spark plugs. Well, it's just fine. I know what it is. I just need spark plugs. Okay. It's still missing. Well, you diagnosed it. You know, spark plugs are made to last thousands of miles anymore. It's probably a crank sensor or something else, you know. All kinds of these weird things, you know. Had one that got oil, got in the connection. I mean, it's just all these things. You see, if you know so much about it, and you can fix it, and you know what needs to be done, then why'd you get there in the first place? You got there some way. Just an accident? God's not a God of accidents. God's not a God of luck. God is a God of action and facts and reality and truth. No mistakes, no surprises in God's life. He has never been taken by surprise. Do you believe that God can help? Do you believe God can fix it? Okay, let's go to verse 29 then. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. He gives power and strength to the weak ones, to the ones that are getting ready to pass out. Now, I don't know if you've ever fainted or not or had that happen in your life, but you just kind of, boom. And you missed some time there somewhere, you know. It's gone. That's who God helps. When you pass out and you faint, you're just, there you are on the floor. I mean, you are totally, completely helpless. Totally vulnerable to anything. That's who God helps. To the weak. To the weak. I can do this. Oh, yeah? Then you don't need God. He helps the weak. You know what that translates into? Humble. Humble. That's who he can help. That's who he can work with. That's who he can do something with. When there is no other hope, when our strength has failed, that's when he does. Look at verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. Everybody's going to get weak. Even the young ones. Even the young ones. The youth are going to faint. Young men will get weak. The ones that you expect that are not going to be weak, the ones that you expect are going to be strong, they're going to wind up being both. Everyone will need help. At various times in your life, you will need help. Whether you're a pastor or a teacher or a young person in school or college or everybody is going, been married for a bunch of years, got grandchildren, they're all raised, whatever. You will need help. There will be a time in your life that you will need help, and there will be more than one time in your life that you need help. How's things going so far? With your mouth, people say, I need help. With their actions, they say something else. The proof is that nothing has changed. Nothing can be fixed without a change. Or some changing, sometimes more than one change. Nothing is going to be fixed if you leave the things the same way they are. If you leave the things the same way they are, then the things are going to stay the same way, the way they are. I'm going to keep on doing things the way I've always done them. Well, then there's not going to be any fix. There's not going to be any change. Nothing is going to be turned around. Nothing is going to be straightened out. Well, I don't want to change that over there. I like that. But, hey. Well, I like that. Well, then you've got what you've got. If you're not willing to step up to the plate, if you're not willing to make a decision, if you're not willing to let God work in your life, there's not going to be a change. There cannot be a change. The preacher doesn't have some magic wand or some magic potion he waves over your head or something other, and everything's fixed. There has to be a change. You have to accept the change. So many people come to us for advice. So many people call us. So many people, we start talking to them about Bible and things. And try, be in church, be in church, be under the Word, be under the Word. Like we talked about in Sunday school class today. Be at the feet of Jesus. Be, come on, come on, come on. Well, I had this come up, I had that come up, I had this come up. Why, you know? There is no way without the help of the everlasting God. There is no help without the help of the Lord. There is no help without the Creator of the ends of the world. There is no help out there. The big question, are you ready for help? Are you weak? Are you powerless? Are you at the point of fainting? Are you ready for help? Will you take the help of Jesus? Will you take the help of Jesus? You got to swallow the pill. You got to take the medicine. Will you take the help of Jesus? Remember that little old song they had? I don't know what it was. Mary Poppins or something or other. A little sugar helps the medicine go down. Something like that. Hey, Jesus is the honey in the rock. Amen. He loves you so much we'll never understand it this side of glory. He just wants to hug you. He wants you to be up close to Him. He'll put all the honey with it He can. But you got to swallow the pill. Let Him work in your life. Then we come to verse 31. I mean, that's one of the... it's all over the bookstores and all over plaques and eagles and all kinds of things. This verse is all over the place. But, conjecture there, but they that wait upon the Lord. Are you one of them? Are you one of those theys? Waiting for the Lord? Will you let God have His way in your life? Will you let God be your Lord? Will you let God be your only God? Will you sit at the feet of Jesus and drink in His Word and open up your heart and your prayer life as you meditate and pray and read? Will you let... Well, I have trouble reading. Start in Genesis. It'll teach you how to read. It's got a built-in dictionary. It's not that hard. Don't let the devil tell you you can't understand the Word of God. That's a lie. You got to open it up first. You got to turn the pages. You got to look at the words. Renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Shall. That is a promise of God. This is a great promise, a great assurance of God. You will, you shall. This is a promise. Your strength will be increased. There's not a one of you in your own strength can handle this world. There's not a one of you in your own strength that are a match for one of the least of the demons of the devil, and you're going to go out there and do all this stuff yourself. You've got to have God in your life. There is no way He's going to chew you up and spit you out and not even blink an eye. He will renew your strength. You must have that. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Ever seen the eagle go down in the water and pick up a big old fish and fly up out of that water? Man. What a majestic animal those birds are. I don't know if they call them animal or bird or fowl. There's all kinds of eagles. They are the most perfectly designed flying animals. Those and falcons, those are owls. I mean, look at the things that those animals can do. An owl can fly and never hear it. Eagles are thousands. I don't know how up there. They can see a rabbit or some mouse or something and come down and get it. And not miss. Fly off. They nest in the same nest. Big old huge nest they make. What happens when the young ones start to get a little ready to fly? They start making the nest uncomfortable. Start picking the down out of the nest can make it a little uncomfortable. Many times they just toss them. Hey, they learn to fly. Mama or daddy comes along, picks them up on their back. Amazing animals. I bet every one of you have thought about flying, you know? Superman, all that stuff, you know, and your kids, all that stuff, you know? You ever think about flying? What a fun it would be, just soar over there, look at all that stuff. It's got to be fun. Be able to see all that stuff, be up there and just... Not sick or nothing, just looking. Man. The world looks totally different. The higher you get, the view of the world changes. Have you seen those pictures from space? How beautiful the world looks. Go out here now, weeds and dirt, dust and all that stuff, you know. Hey, you're up there soaring with the Master above all the cares of the world. Everything's beautiful. Oh, it's just so sweet and smooth. Air and refreshing. Just enjoying the currents. You fly through the air. You and Jesus. Have you ever felt that in your soul as you're talking to Jesus? You ever felt that in your soul as you're opening up the Word of God and something just bounces at you and talks to you? I read the Bible, I don't get anything out of it. Why? Why? Well, I'm just doing it because the preacher said I need to. Hey, I'm not God. I got my own problems. Listen. Do you want that in your life? Do you want that soaring victory in your life? They shall mount up. Now listen, we got fly, run, and walk. You don't do all at the same time. But all of them are a part of your life. They shall run. There's a time to run. There's a time that running through life at full speed, sometimes there's time to run. And not be weary. Just jog along. God gives you the strength. Sometimes you just need to walk. Nice and smooth and steady pace. Going through life. And not faint. Notice the order of these things. Soaring first. Running. And then walking. And not faint. You can put quit in there. Quit. Remember those times that you were soaring and you was close to God? What happened? Remember those times you was running and things were happening, things were going and we was doing this and we was doing that? Oh, it was just a... And then sometimes you're just walking along with God. You know, people can walk for ages. Even the eagle stops and rests sometimes. Even the runner stops and rests sometimes. But you can walk for a long time. Why? Because your strength comes from the everlasting God. Your strength comes from the Lord. Your strength comes from the Creator of the ends of the world. That's why. Your strength isn't from some program or some book or some energy drink or whatever it is. Your strength is from the Lord, God Almighty. It's not that extra cup of caffeine in the morning or that candy bar. It's from the Lord that strengthens your soul. This is not about everything's going to be smooth. This is about when you get weak and faint. The strongest runner gets tired. There's times you have to stop and wait on the Lord. Let Him renew your strength. But you don't faint. You don't quit. Well, I got too many things going on in my life. I don't have time. I can't do this. Hey, that's when you need to be in the house of the Lord to get your charge. So many people will not make a commitment to let God work in their life. An eagle doesn't fly right off the bat. A runner doesn't run right off the bat. A little kid doesn't walk right off the bat. All of these things are learned. You must be close to God to learn. Maybe you're sitting out there and say, man, I don't know. This and that, and I don't even, that guy, he's crazy. I don't even know what he's trying to do. I don't know. Do you know Jesus? Has there been a time in your life that you actually asked Jesus to be your Savior? It's not when I did this or did that or whatever, whatever. No. Was there a specific time in your life that you asked Jesus to be your Savior? Some people remember the day and the hour and the time. Some people don't. But you need to remember something about it. Because He'll make sure you remember it. Because that's your anchor that you hold on to. Well, I've been going to church for this long, or I've been doing this, or I've been doing that, or I told everybody I was. Whatever. Hey. Don't listen to the devil. Has there been a time in your life, not your mother's, your daddy's, your husband's, your wife's, or your kids, what a time in your life that you got saved? Then you can get some help. Then it'll start making sense. Then God can help you. Christian, where are you at with God? Where are you at with God? What do you want God to do in your life? So many times, Jesus had miracles and different things. He came up on people's lives. And He asked them. I mean, they were blind or couldn't walk or whatever. You know, He says, what do you want me to do for you? And He's pretty obvious. He's got blessings out there. What do you want Him to do for you? Ask Him. Ask Jesus. Ask Jesus. He's got blessings for you.
Well, I don't know if He wants me to do that. I don't know if His will. Well,
ask Him. Ask Him. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation. See what God has in your life. What does God want to do in your life? What is God trying to do in your life? Dear Jesus, we ask that You'll take this time, that You'll take Your precious word, that You'll touch people's hearts. Let them know how much You love them. Our prayer, Jesus, is for You to be real, viable, tangible in their lives. We ask this in Jesus' name.